Well, hey, everybody, this is Patricia Corey. Man, it's been a while since I've been with you on Beyond the Matrix, and that is because Italy has had, Europe, in fact, has had the most hellacious winter. You've probably heard about Europe being frozen over. And 2 weeks ago, when I was supposed to be bringing Suzanne, my guest today, Suzanne Taylor, on the air, I was under about 2 feet of snow here in the mountains of Rome, and no electricity, no water, no heat, no nada. Fortunately, I'm into prevention and preparations, so I got through it pretty snug as a bug in a rug, but it is testing seeing the earth changes and understanding that every year, every month is different. So anyway, I'm here again, and thank you for your patience. And Suzanne was gracious and understanding that I couldn't do much about it. So before I bring her on, I've got a few announcements, and then I'll have Suzanne Taylor with me talking about one of my favorite subjects, and I think yours as well. Okay, as announcements go, I would like to remind everybody that I've got the workshop coming up in Cabo San Lucas. There is still space available for that. So that's the closest I'll be getting to the United States for probably a long time. If you're interested, it's March 17th and 18th in Cabo. And I decided what a great idea to do a workshop and have a wonderful vacation together. So if you're interested, please check on my site at SyrianRevelations.net. The other announcement that's very exciting is that I'm getting the organization SaveEarthsOceans.org off the ground, now filing with the government for nonprofit status, walking my talk as best I can. And so many of you have asked, how can we help the oceans and the whales and dolphins? Stay tuned, gang, because I've got a lot of projects coming up, and I'm calling on all of you to help us help them. Okay, and with all of that out of the way, let me joyfully bring on Suzanne Taylor, who is a producer. Her film is pretty famous. She's done a great job of promoting this film, What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And we're going to be talking about all these different aspects, the joy of it, the ongoing debate, still having to hear about man-made or not. And we're going to brainstorm a little bit and talk about our experiences. So here she is. Hi, Suzanne.
Well, hi, Patricia. It's so nice to be talking to somebody who really knows the subject matter. You know, we can talk about it at a different level from people I have to explain what a crop circle is.
Jeez, how is that possible? I mean, by now, I would think that more and more people are understanding this phenomenon.
Well, indeed, you know, since Signs, which was 10 years ago, it used to be you'd say crop circles and people would say, huh, what's that? You know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And now, ever since Signs, in 10 years, when they say, what's that, you say, did you see Signs? Oh, those things, you know, despite the fact that Signs didn't say anything accurate about them, at least they got the phenomenon, you know, they familiarized the public with the fact that we had crop circles. So
yeah,
every little step, you know, one little step at a time.
Every little step you take. Well, most of the people that are listening today surely know about them, and some of these people have been with me in many journeys past, and I know Vicente is listening, so ciao, bello. Can't wait to see you in Cabo. But, yeah, let's talk about the beginning, my first experience, your first experience, and how it has evolved and sort of devolved to, because there's just too much negativity going on now about the phenomenon. So let's talk about it all. All right. You said that you go back. When did you first go into your first crop circle?
The first one that I went into was 1993. And I had been turned on to the circles for about 4 or 5 years before that, and was producing programs about them, not having firsthand experience, but, you know, being impressed by what I was learning about them and seeing about them. Since about, as I say, 5 years before that, you know, finally, oh my God, I've got to get over here and see these things, because the programs were hugely successful. We had to rent, you know, big spaces to put them in. People were so curious before the whole debunking thing and, you know, hoaxing thing took hold. And it was a real worldwide mystery, and as well it should have been and is. So the people just, you know, L.A. is such a crossroads, which is where I am, and the researchers would come through. And in fact, we have a couple of them living in this area. So that we produced many really successful programs about them, and it was all tremendously exciting in those early years.
That was before we got the Doug and Dave
debunking story. Right, even Doug and Dave, well, the general public kind of bought that. It's a weird thing that these two farmers from the middle of nowhere got a press release on front pages all over the world.
Exactly.
But we talk about that in my movie.
One.
Yeah, we talk about that in my movie and how that does seem to have been a government plot to discredit them. Little spoiler there, but you know, ever since then it's been a bit of a struggle with that story out there, but they were actually quickly discredited, Doug and Dave, and anybody who was really following the situation knew that, you know, that was not the answer. But you know, once you spread a lie into the public, it's a little hard to get it out, you know. And we're still plagued by it. I'll still run into people, oh no, that got resolved, those two guys, yeah, a long time ago. Oh my, no.
All right, well, let's, in case anybody doesn't know who Doug and Dave are, which I'm sure all of you listening probably have heard, but these two guys in their 60s come out and claim that they are the ones that are making these extraordinary designs in the fields, and they're doing this by drawing a little plank of wood around in a circle, round and round and round and round. And they showed how they did this, and that seemed to be enough to anesthetize the general mass public to the idea that it was a hoax. And of course, as I've been bringing to you and so many other people like Suzanne, year after year, these extraordinary, huge formations that in many cases come down, proven to become down in a 40-minute time span, like my the one that I call my crop circle, which was, of course, the Julia set at Stonehenge. And as you will know, if you've heard me talk about it, the supposedly a crop duster pilot went over the field, bearing in mind this field is next, the field next to Stonehenge, which is an area that is one of the most traveled touristic areas in all of England in the month of July. This crop circle supposedly comes down. He flies back over 40 minutes later, and it's there, and he didn't see it coming the first time. Now, this crop circle had 151 circles in Fibonacci sequence. So I'd like to know, you said you got into that crop circle. I'd like to talk about what you experienced there.
Well, you know, there's a little to the lore of it, which is that the farmer was incensed when he first realized he had a crop circle. And as some of them are, there's some of them are very friendly to them, as you know, and some of them are very, you know, they'll sit there with a shotgun, don't you come in my field, or plow them out.
Yeah.
But he was about to take it out. Not, you know, when you were in that one, as again, you know, you could, there was no way to, you know, figure out what the pattern was. It was so circles everywhere, you know, everywhere you looked, and you couldn't get a sense of the design at all, or really, you know, how impressive the whole thing was, until you saw the shot from the air, and somebody showed him, the plane had already flown, they'd already taken a picture, and somebody showed the farmer the picture, and the farmer was knocked out, and instead of cutting it out, he put up, the first time ever, a sign that said, see world's best crops, a huge sign, actually, oh, I have a picture of myself next to that sign, And then he started charging, and he made a lot of money. It was the first time. Now you know they have honesty boxes in a lot of the better circles, and despite the fact that people steal the honesty boxes, that is what they're called. And he made thousands of pounds because it was a huge attraction, you know, right by Stonehenge, as you say, and the whole story about it, that it appeared in daylight, and, most of them, almost all of them, they happen overnight. You wake up in the morning and there's a crop circle, but this one apparently showed up in the middle of the day and, you know, obviously no people making it. So, you know, it was quite an impressive situation.
And it was... energetically. I mean, my story is that I dreamt about this appearance, and then it led me. I was in England. The story's been told already, so I won't bore the audience with it. But basically, I woke up in the middle of the night and had this vision of it, and then a number of circumstances got me to get into that formation in that time. And when I was in there, I had the most remarkable experiences. The first was the sense of being pulled, as if someone were pulling me by the shirt into the center of it. And I could barely
keep
myself together. There was like a hand on my shirt just pulling me in. And I soon lost consciousness in there. So I had lost time of 2 hours.
Oh,
nothing's
my goodness.
Ever been that strong again since that one. I've had been in crop circles every summer, but that was the big banana, as they say.
You know what that reminds me of, Patricia? There are two circles from early on that appeared in Canada where there was a porcupine in the middle of it with its quills swirled the same way the crop circle was swirled. And the reason why it was in the middle like that is because most animals run when anything strange happens, and animals definitely react. Before a circle comes, the animals in the neighborhood are going rather crazy, making lots of noise and what have you. And any other animal would run from, you know, energy that was, you know, whatever, the pre-energy that was there before the circle came down. But porcupines, their defense mechanism is to curl up and not run. And they were pulled into the center of the circle by the energy. So it's the first time I've ever heard of a person having that kind of pull, but it's, you know, you and the porcupines.
You mean an actual porcupine was found in the center?
Two of them, in two different Canadian formations had porcupines right in the middle of the circle. Yeah,
You were suggesting that the design had a porcupine design in it.
No. Real porcupines got pulled into the center of two Canadian circles with quills swirled.
Wow. Well, I feel like I'm in good company then.
Really? You and the porcupines, no, like I said.
It was a physical, it was really something like someone pulling me by the collar of the shirt.
I love hearing that because I know that porcupine story. I'm thinking, oh, I've never heard anybody say that. That's so wonderful. I mean, all these things to me, you know, are the corroborations of the fact that, you know, you have to struggle now to authenticate the phenomenon. Everybody, you know, so much trashing going on. And so all these kind of stories are like, yes, 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 you know. They let you know that for sure this is, you know, not a couple of guys with boards. Which, by the way, if you see my movie, you just know. We even show you in the movie the demonstration circle that they made for the press after their press release went out all over the world. The cameras were there and, you know, the stations were there, whatever, covering this. And they made this ratty thing that, you know, it's awful. I mean, it's a mess. And so, you know, you look at that and you say, oh, I see. These guys made fake circles, you know. But there's lots of other evidence. We talk about a lot of things in there. You know, they only made circles in Hampshire County, except the big county for them is Wiltshire County. And they said they made them all. Excuse me, what happened to all those in Wiltshire? You know, so there's a lot of corroboration for their duplicity.
Well,
and the movie, by the way,
film.
Is What on Earth? I don't even know if we said the title of it. What on Earth with a question mark?
I've seen the film. I announced it at the beginning. What on Earth?
Oh, did you?
Inside
okay.
the crop circle mystery, and
right.
It is a fabulous film. And you've got please give the website that people can
go to. Website to go to where you'll see the trailer immediately is cropcirclemovie.com. It's easy to remember. It's not the main website for the movie, but that's the, and you can get to everything else from there, including my mailing list. I send out fabulous things, and are you on my mailing list, Patricia?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
I am.
Oh, good. I'm just a snoop for things that most people haven't seen that corroborate the fact that we're in a rather magical universe here, and that are outside of ordinary reality, above and beyond the crop circles. Because, you know, that we so need a change of consciousness, a change of worldview, and these sort of things that shatter the current belief system are very interesting to me, and I think, you know, important to the world. So that's what you get.
Yeah.
You get to my mailing list through the cropcirclemovie.com. Okay.
Needless to say, we're kindred spirits in that regard, because my life is about shattering the paradigm.
Oh,
as well.
I know. You and I are sisters. Why are you in Italy and I'm in Los Angeles?
I know. We'll have to fix that. You'll have to come over and spend some time.
Well, what you say. Watch what you ask for. They actually brought me, by the way, to Italy to speak at a conference, 10 years ago, not about crop circles, but about the future of the new age was the topic. And somebody knew the kind of stuff I was into here in L.A., and he was helping to organize that Italian conference. Astra, is that the name of the it is an astrological kind of conference produced by a magazine called either Astra or Asta. Do you know that?
Astra.
They have a yearly con. Anyway, that was very nice. I got flown to Italy. I like that a lot.
Let's see if we can get you flown to England and maybe join my group this summer. That would be very,
very
cool.
Tempting, honey. Your group sounds fabulous, really, that you're doing even more than the circles and taking people into the whole. Because that whole, people often say, why the circles in this little area of all the world, you know? But it's a magic landscape. It's highly manipulated. Stonehenge, of course, is the most famous artifact, but you can hardly turn around without falling over something ancient many of them are, in fact, tourist attractions over there. But that whole area is full of that sort of thing. And if you think about the circles getting our attention and perhaps signaling to us that we need to change our ways and get back to a time when we were in this sacred world, when the whole earth was a sacred landscape. That's what human beings thought about it in those years. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why they picked this magic spot.
Well, that and the fact that you've got triangulation. You've got the Avebury Circle, you've got Stonehenge, and you've got the Glastonbury Tor, which create a triangle. And
right.
It appears that the majority of these formations come down within that space. So undoubtedly, there's a lot of magic going on in between ley lines and other forces. Mm-hmm. It's a remarkable place.
I mean, if I were going to pick a spot, I'd pick that spot. And it has other reasons, too. Again, we talk about some of that in the movie. There's a lot of recreational low-hanging aircraft, and you'd need that in order to have a focal point for the phenomenon where people would find it, you know. So it's a perfect little spot.
I think also when we were talking about the poo-pooers, and I would like to talk about that a bit more with you, the mere fact that you can't even go near a crop circle without seeing army helicopters perpetually flying overhead is your first clue that there's something more going on here than a few guys having some beers and going out in the middle of the night and creating these designs. The theory is to make money on calendars and whatever. And I'd like to talk about that. I mean,
Yeah, that people accuse.
Like, I'm sure you hear that you're only in it to make money on your film, and
right.
God knows, you know, independent filmmakers don't make money.
Well, you know, it's like, why don't you give it away if you're so high-minded? Well, do you give away your life? How do you get money to do whatever else you do? You know, this will be my last project if you know I can't recoup some of the money I put into it. But people are really weird. Well, that's on the internet too. Everybody thinks everything should be free, which is quite bizarre.
Well, people need to understand that we're giving, like you said, giving away your life. I mean, I spend probably 8 months of my life on the road teaching and working, and it's my dedication to doing what I can for spirit. But I also have to earn enough to be able to hold up my world.
Yeah, and, well, the people who are you know, throwing those barbs don't have any comprehension of that. It's so really weird, you know. I mean, and of course, you know, the whole thing in the movie industry where the minute a movie comes out, it's hijacked by all those freebie people who feel like, well, they're entitled, it's digital, and we're online, and, you walk out of stores with the merchandise and say, well, you know, it's there, can I just take it? No.
Well, it's really important to be ethical about everything we do, and that includes supporting each other and each other's work, because ethics is absolutely being tested across the social norms of today's realities, and we need to get back to the highest ethics in all concern.
Oh, of course. And if that were the reality, we'd have a very different world. Yeah.
Well, we have to start within the spiritual community, otherwise we're cooked.
Well, it's obviously what you and I are, you know, working to bring about. I mean, in terms of the circles, if the world knew that we were being visited, we'd have to rethink everything. It would be the biggest news ever for humanity. We would never be the same again. We would have this knowledge that we're part of a much larger system, galactic system. It would humble us. It would put us into a wonderful conversation on Earth about what's going on. You know, we have something other than us to kind of compare ourselves to or be in relation to. We have nothing to be in relation to now as humanity, just each other. And look how violent we are with each other and destructive to the Earth, and how good it would be for us if, in fact, this were verified. All those skeptics, you know.
Yes.
It's like one of the frustrations in dealing with the virtual professional skeptics. I mean, they have a skeptic society where they just don't believe anything. it's really absurd, but what a disservice to humanity that is, because in fact, everybody should be looking for the possibility that these things are real, because it would be so good for us. So the world is pretty backwards place in many ways.
The powers that control this planet, at least believe they have control of the planet, obviously do not want people to make those discoveries. They're going to let us know when they think we're ready to know. So there is definitely, in my opinion, their disclosure is well underway in the methods that they choose to use, which is leaking. Of course, I really believe, and I wonder if you agree with me, that the way disclosure is going to come is just, all right, you're taking too long for this. Here we are.
Well, I hope so. Wouldn't that be nice? But then again, let's talk about why they haven't done that. And my, we are speculating about what they're all about. You know, they don't tell us. They just give us their evidence that they exist, and then we have to speculate about everything else. And one of the thoughts about why they're not more directive and immediate, and they haven't done, you know, 1,000 crop circles in one night all over the world or what have you, is that it would be too jarring for us. That there has to be a certain receptivity whereby if they are revealed to be for real, that it's not, you know, so that people aren't scared to death, you know. What's going on? Are we going to be invaded? Whatever. But that's growing. As these things keep delivering to us, more and more people tune in. People see my movie and go, oh, yeah, there's something real to that, you know. I mean, that's why I made it, to change the world's mind about what's going on. And I think at some point, perhaps, when there's some, I don't know how you'd quantify, but at some point when it gets rich enough in a receptivity aspect of things, let's hope that they would do that. And my understanding is that, or my belief is that, it would take that for them, you know, to why don't they land on the White House lawn? We'd shoot them, you know. But if we're really eager and we're curious and open, well, wouldn't that, you know, be a potentially different situation where they actually really might come forth?
Well,
and then what? You know, they're ahead of us technologically. What could they give us? I mean, they won't throw pearl before a swine. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention in the power structure. So, you know, how can they help us? But if we're open to them, whoa.
If I interject something here, I would like to also suggest that they're creating 1,000 formations in one night probably would be counterproductive, because that would mean that the military junta that rules the world would enact some sort of broadband mind control or some sort of false flag. It would be big enough that they would have to move into total declaration of what was going on. I think that it's much better if this is being gently released into human consciousness bit by bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I mean, you know, that I believe that is what's going on, and that is the answer to why aren't they more specific and, you know, really be more direct and what have you. I think we're being sensitized, and indeed, there's you know, a lot of sensitivity to the fact that this is a real phenomenon.
And of course, I imagine that the beings that are creating these formations are saying, now, why is it that some humans get this and that most refuse it? What is the mechanism here?
Oh, I can imagine them scratching whatever passes for their heads out there going, what's with these people? What's the matter with them? Really?
What is the mechanism that some human beings are open to alternative truths and reality and open to the one language of interdimensional, intergalactic communication, which is number, mathematics, geometry.
Oh, yes.
The way to communicate than intelligence than to portray these messages in such sacred form.
Well, that, is the universal language, mathematics, so that as they do call to us and draw us and induce us to open our minds, open our eyes, this is, you know, very logical that they send this incredible geometry, which we have learned from. I mean, one of the people in my movie, he's one of the real good geometers, says we're getting a lesson in number and form, and, you know, we're actually learning from the circles. And in fact, as you probably know, there was work done where we have geometric theorems that are now in our literature that were derived from the circles that were never there before. So it's very, very sophisticated geometry. But, you know, I wanted to just also just read you a brief quote that is my favorite quote about the circles, and which accounts for or speaks to them not being so invasive and, you know, doing something that hits us over the head with them. This is a little John Michel quote. He says, a great power has arisen, directing thoughts and perception in a certain direction towards a more complete and satisfactory view of reality than the modern conventions of materialism have previously allowed. Gently, subtly, with no disturbance or panic, we are being guided across a watershed from one worldview to another. And this is in no way arbitrary, but a purposeful process in accordance with the interests of eternal nature and the necessities of the present. So I just love that quote.
That's very beautiful.
It speaks to what's going on. Why is it not going on differently, you know? So
it also speaks to the experience you have when you're in the formation, because there is this incredible wonder most of us feel when we're in there that is, it's pretty indescribable, but it's a feeling, first of all, of the people that you encounter that are also going in. It's like the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, I've got
it's
to
like,
get
what
to
has
that.
What has drawn us here? What is the common glue? What is the wonder? Why us? Why are we here? And that is a remarkable experience. I go every year. I see people that I know that go every year, still going, still deriving amazing things from these experiences.
I think of that in some contradiction or comparison to elevators. You get in an elevator, you look forward, crowded elevator, you don't say a word. You get into a crop circle, and your family with who's ever in there.
It's so true.
Really.
How long has it been since you've been there, Suzanne?
Well, they premiered my movie over there in a rough cut, actually. It wasn't quite finished. Not this summer. This was 11. Not 2009. That was when it won the award from the big UFO Congress of Best Feature Documentary. They have a little film festival along with their week-long meeting. So that's when we officially, came out with this movie in 2009.
And that's coming up now again, the UFO conference in days, right?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going?
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I don't know. The UFO world seems to be, there isn't much new, you know. What you go for is to meet your friends, actually, and, you know, catch up with the community. But the speakers are kind of reiterating. Don't you think, Patricia, there hasn't been anything much new going on?
Well, there are some categories. The one is I'm a little bit not excited about proving craft. Because, I mean, what do we need? to understand that there are craft flying all over the skies. Example, when I was in Egypt with my group last November, we were at the Hatshepsut temple in the middle of the night, and we laid down on the temple ground, and I asked, please come, please, we're here to connect with you. Please show yourselves. And within a nanosecond, we saw a light moving across the horizon. And at first somebody said, oh my God, is it a satellite? And then it answered that question by going do 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 and made 2 90-degree turns.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah. And so people were like, oh my God, Patricia. And I said, it's not over yet. And then bam, another one came from the other side of the sky and did somersaults around across the sky and went out. So I think that's very exciting that we are capable of
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I'm really sorry I've got my backyard all patio bricked in. You know, I wish I had some lawn back there. I keep saying, oh, come on, you guys, connect with me, you know, but what can they do in my swimming pool?
Well, they don't have to come into the house. I mean, as long as you can see the sky. But it was truly...
Well, I'm the crop circles. You know, you're looking at skies. I'm looking at ground, so... I don't have a playing field for them here at my house, unfortunately.
But it's very exciting that people are beginning to have these telepathic experiences where craft are responding to the call.
That's very exciting. Are you kidding? I'd settle for one of those. That'd be good.
Well, we had 50 people in the group, and I think only one person missed it. And
whoa,
the rest of us were just like, because what happened was I was about to lead a meditation and a ceremony, and I said, no meditation, lie down and look up.
And you're such an intuitive witch. really.
It's nice to have this faculty. It's a gift.
Oh, really? I'm so jealous.
That is something that I am excited about. And, of course, that has been something that has been discussed in regard to the formations and the fact that people ask for a certain design to come down and the next morning it comes down.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
The immediate response to craft in the sky is pretty darn tootin' exciting as well.
Really, for sure. Well, you know, I have a couple of those stories in the movie about the psychic connection between human beings and whatever's making the circles. And I was a little bit reluctant to put that in, or I was concerned about putting it in, because I thought, you know, I do not want people to take this movie as woo-woo, you know. But
yeah.
My criteria for what I included of those, but because those things really do happen, and it's really a significant part of the whole situation, my criteria was that I had to really know the people that were, you know, wasn't third or fourth hand stories that I was presenting. I knew these were credible people. They were involved in whatever the situation was that I put into the movie. So that I know that there was a, you know, reality to what that was, and somebody wasn't making it up. You know, but that is a very trippy aspect of it all. People think about things and in relation to what they're asking for with circles, and then there they are. You know, they appear. So very strange.
It's really exciting when you have a witnesses like in Egypt and in England one summer when we were coming down from the field across Silbury Hill, and I could see this formation happening, and I said there'll be another six-sided star here tomorrow, and it came down.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. So what other things are highlighted in the film that you feel are, let's say, revolutionary in your approach to the phenomenon?
Well, you know what I did in the film, let's talk about what the nature of this film is. People say to me that they're very grateful that I don't hit them over the head and demand that they believe something. That wasn't my purpose in the film, nor was it my purpose to prove anything in the film.
Good.
Although the first film that I had made, I'm the executive producer of the first feature ever done about the circles, which was called Crop Circles, Quest for Truth. It came out right after Signs, within a couple of weeks of Signs in 2002. And that's a history of the crop circles, which really does go into the science and the more what you would consider proof of the data of it all. What I was after in my movie, that one being done, you know, that took care of that part of it, the history of it all. What I wanted to do in my movie was deal with people who are reputable people with good, you know, careers. We have a professor of architecture from USC, and, you know, people of substance who gave up their lives to turn into crop circle, whatever, researchers we call them, but different things. They write books, they take pictures, they devote, you know, they're really given over their time and energy to the crop circles. And I knew who the people were, since I'm involved in that, I'm part of that community. I knew who the people were who had the best stories to tell, who were the most exciting, who had the most startling experiences. And the film is full of them telling their stories. And, of course, you walk away from the film going, hey, there's something real going on there. But, you know, nobody's forcing you to... I shouldn't say forcing, because the first film just gives you a lot of data, but it isn't even that kind of film, this one. This one is a passion film about, you know, you get drawn into everyone else's story of why they turned their lives over to this, and it draws you in, you know. So that was the objective of the film. So I don't know that I could tell you, I mean, some of those... we do, you know, they do tell stories about the electronic equipment failing and about meditating on a shape and you get one, and somebody else went out and did a talk. She was terrified to talk, but she felt she was supposed to be a messenger for the circles, and somebody invited her an hour away from where she lived so she couldn't fall on her face in front of her neighbors, and she gave a talk. She was actually turned into a speaker, and she was very, very pleased with herself. And when she came home in her backyard, there was a little crop circle, and I said to her, "Huh? Was that a big public event?" She said, "Public. I live way out in the country. It was for me. It was just for me." So, it's like they, you know, a little kiss for her. Thank you for, you know, carrying our message. So it's those delicious little stories that are all through the film. You know, that's really what the film is about, to just charm you and get you to the place where you go, whoa, those people are very credible, and look what's happened to them, and, you know, hey, I believe.
Well, I am one of the people who has put my life, my credibility on the line every day, actually, suggesting that our current perception of reality is... really not working, and that as we explore new realms and open our hearts to the possibilities of what lies beyond the limits of what we believe or what the mass believes is reality, there is just endless wonder, and you are either in service to it or you're not, and you are, and I am, and many people who are listening are too, and it is
like a really calling, you know, you just get the call, you're supposed to serve this situation rather than exploited or whatever, or be indifferent to it.
Indeed. And, you know, back at the Julia set, I remember when I was walking out of the formation, I was so dazed because I had lost consciousness for 2 hours in there.
Oh, that is amazing, really.
Sorry?
I thought that's an amazing story, you know?
Yeah.
Like you lost consciousness. Whoa.
I was taken there by a professor from this college, and he said, look, I'm going to go over to Stonehenge. Can I leave you here? I'm not really into this crop circle stuff. And I said, okay. And I go away. And I was pulled, like I said, by this hand on my shirt, it felt like. And I flopped down in the middle of the formation. And I started to spin. I thought I was going to get sick, actually. And then I lost consciousness. And when I came back, he was sort of standing over me. And I looked up, and everything was, the weather was different, the light was different. And I was shocked to see that it was like more nighttime. And he told me that I had been out for 2 hours. I was flabbergasted. I've never had a lost time experience before that. And while I was trying to get out of the formation, he said, I'll go ahead and get the car. It's way down. Are you good to walk out on your own? And I said, sure. And I had Men in Black experience. I had plasma and all this stuff. And when I got to the gate, this is what I'm heading to here. Uh-huh. The farmer's wife was there by the collection box. And I said to her, boy, I guess you get a lot of weird people coming into this. And she looked at me like, you are one of them.
Aha, uh-huh, really guilty. Right.
Yeah, it was just dazed. It was,
yeah, you were out of it, sort of. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot was going on in that formation. People were called from all over the world, shamans and native spirit masters. It was something else that Julius said.
Well, I'm going to, one of the things I'm about to do, I'm about to kind of revise my platform and my presence online have even more convincing evidence of the fact that the world is not as we have defined it in our limited worldview here. And one of the things I want to do is collect those personal stories of these otherworldly experiences that people have had that really turned them around. To some extent we're doing that in the movie, but I want to get it online too, so that, you know, you get on that page and you see personal testimony to things that could not have been, except for something, you know, outside our belief system going on. So that's in you know, gleam in my eye. So I'll have to get your story there. Your time.
I'd love
story.
To. I'd also love to share with your viewers the story of our time in Egypt, because I have written testimonies from people who were there, who saw these craft respond to my request for them to come. It was instantaneous. Please come. My message was, please, please show yourselves to us. Please come. Bam! Light appears in the sky and starts to move over overhead. With two 90-degree turns.
Well, it's experiences like that, of course, that are, you know, everybody who's had an experience like that just knows, you know, after that it's not wondering, after that it's knowing. And yeah. And then how nice that some of those people have been public figures, where more and more you'll hear testimony. Larry King, you know, used to have people on his show that would speak to these extraordinary experiences, and they were people that, you know, other people would respect, people from the military, people from government. We have a little section in the movie about those sort of things, that more credible places are and people are declaring themselves, and that's all part of this sensitizing of humanity to, I think, to, you know, be readier for a real engagement with whatever, crop circle makers, UFO, you know, aspects.
How do you foresee this playing out, Suzanne? Do you believe that we're close to contact now?
Well, you know, you keep praying that we are. One thing that I notice is that we're like saturated with information, and there doesn't seem to be new information, just more and more people having experiences like the things you're talking about. It feels like it's ready to burst, you know. It's like in the crop circle world, there was a progression of new data that would come in, that lesson, that curriculum of math and number, geometry and number, that was it, not form, geometry and number, we got this lesson in. Well, we're not getting lessons anymore. Things seem to be going sideways. We certainly get circles, you know, and impressive ones, and there are certain pattern groups that appear, new kind of ideas appear in the field, but they're just like artists with, you know, another brush capacity, mm-hmm. or whatever, another style, but nothing really new for a while now, and I'm wondering, that feels like, you know, it's up at some edge where, and the UFO world also, we haven't heard anything new other than more people having extraordinary experiences. And it just feels like, you know, it's just ready to cross over. But, you know, then once you say that, you go, well, you don't really know that. You know, there's no way to know that. But that's what it does feel like.
Well, I think that we are at the breaking point now where the only thing that's going to be new, because we've got so much conjecture, so much fantasy, so much discussion about every aspect of possibility regarding intergalactic contact and interdimensional contact. But it's now time for that to happen. And the news will then be dealing with human interrelation with these different beings. It's time for this now.
Oh,
I mean, that'll be news.
Oh, I'm just so eager for that, you know. It's like, yes, yes, come on. And then, of course, there's some literature out there or some opinions out there that watch what you ask for, because you know, people who are, you know, somewhat credible in our world are a little, there's some concern that we'll be depressed because they're going to be so far ahead of us, we're going to feel, you know, like we're, you know, not so good and whatever in relation to them, or freaked out because they're so far ahead of us. And, you know, that might be.
Well, I think that, first of all, as far as what is ahead or not, as far as technology, I think that we have a lot of technology from beings from other realms. And I'm not too crazy about a lot of it. But as far as being ahead spiritually, come on in. You know, we can really surely use new guidance on how to move away from these paradigms that have been controlling the earth for so long.
Well, just the fact of encountering other intelligence is going to open that door. Like, you know, we'll see, we won't be able to hang on to our little narrow kind of perspective. You know, we'll all be opened up by that. Just the acknowledgement of that, just the realization that
just
yes, this is for real.
Yeah, just the validation at last,
yeah.
Because we've got the clues throughout history, but the final global validation, here it is, the new paradigm is this. Get ready for this. The one thing that concerns me is I hear a lot of people saying, come on down, please help us, please save us from ourselves. And it's like, guys, this is our karma. It would be great to have some guidance and some really powerful light beings at work here. But remember that nobody has to save us. We have to fix our own dilemma here. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like that's all part of that not being hit over the head, but actually coming to realization slowly, you know, that indeed there is this otherness. And so that is the contrast to, you know, the kind of savior situation. I think, you know, that what is that Star Trek thing, where there's a law in the universe that the advanced civilizations can't interfere with the less advanced ones. Prime directive.
The law of interventionism.
Pardon me?
The law of non-intervention.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is the kind of dynamic we're in with this calling us and drawing us and enticing us and whatever, until we kind of realize in our own mind that, ooh, yeah, this is for real, and then we own it. We've got it. We haven't been, you know, forced in any way to swallow something, you know. And I do believe that's what's going on. It takes a long time for humanity to absorb a new perspective. But, of course, we're in such trouble now that that's, in a way, a good thing for just from this perspective of getting us to think and open our minds and not be so stuck in the reality that we're smug about. At least we're not smug about our reality now.
Yeah,
and that's one way to look at the terrible situation as a good situation, you know.
One of the interesting things that's been coming forward in the media is the idea that there are more and more UFO sightings around nuclear arsenals, and there have been incidents where the computers that control the nuclear equipment have gone haywire and gone out. I'm sure you're aware of some of those
stories.
Oh, yes,
we've had very credible testimony to that by our, you know, people who are in charge of those things, and indeed... Isn't that nice? You know, they may not be interceding with us in a very overt, direct way, but please God, they, you know, rescue us when we might be destroying ourselves. And it seems like there is some amount of that going on. Kind
well,
of sweet
the
that we're being protected by
in
the other
material. Sorry, we have a sound delay. The information that comes forward in my material about the law of interventionism is that only when you—that would be us. Become dangerous to environments beyond your realm, can beings from other realms intervene. And that is now the situation. You are now dangerous to life beyond your planet, so we're free to come in and assist.
Yes, I believe that, you know, that fits with my perspective also. Isn't it wonderful to really be playing with these ideas and be open to them? I think, you know, foolish skeptics out there. I mean, it's okay to be skeptical, but then, you know, investigate and drop your skepticism when evidence contradicts it. And people who are so, you know, tight in their opposition to, but as somebody else in my movie says, humanity does not like to be hoodwinked. You know, we don't like to be fooled, and you know, better to turn. At least the opinion is better to ignore things than open to them and discover that, you know, we've been had. So we're dealing with
on the
human
other
proclivities
hand,
here.
Better to contemplate them and not have a major surprise when a fleet of
but of course, right.
Arrive at the local grocery store.
Well, that's my soapbox all the time. You know, people that frequently ask me at the end of an interview, so what's your parting words? My parting words are just be curious for anybody listening who, you know, would be in opposition or what have you. Just be curious. Be open, you know. Turn from skepticism to curiosity. And, you know, that could change the world.
It's so true. And that and the fact of just respect the other person who is dedicating their life to this research. Respect the fact that there is something very true for this person and honor and listen to what they have to say. It certainly isn't going to destroy your life to give space to that other person's belief system, and you might just learn something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Suzanne, what's up for you now? You're talking about a new movie?
No, I wasn't talking about a new movie. You know, I'm not a filmmaker who found a subject. I was deeply involved in this. I used to be an actress, and my husband was a producer, director, writer. And so I was very familiar with the business. So moving over to becoming a filmmaker was kind of a natural step. But it's not like my profession has always been as filmmaker. My meta-interest was in consciousness and our worldview, and I produced many events and projects prior to even finding the circles that had to do with that, how to open our minds. And so now that the movie is, you know, well-launched and continues to be find avenues and audiences out there, I am now kind of returning to my bigger platform where the circles are just one of my material, one of the bodies of material that I work with, and I've just actually gotten a license. If any of your listeners come from L.A., be in touch with me, because I've just gotten a license to produce TEDx West Hollywood, which is where I live, which is, you know, in the heart of L.A. and movie land. Are you familiar with that whole TED whatever project that's out there in the world where people
yes.
have 18-minute talks?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? So, you know, the big TED conference costs $7,000 to go there for 4 or 5 days and listen to 18-minute talks. But then they have established a new aspect to the TED situation, which is these local TED groups. And we're like little satellites, but we're very strictly controlled. The brand is being very well protected because the brand is absolutely, you know, gold out there. And so I'm going to be producing TEDx West Hollywood, and you can bet your bottom dollar we're going to be talking about crop circles, because those things get circulated all over the net, even the big talks at the big TED and the talks at the satellite TEDs do get a lot of circulation. But my theme is even bigger than the circles. My theme is coming into oneness. And
wonderful.
I see the circle serving that, just like other things serve that. So that'll be my umbrella for the whole situation. And
okay,
I just got
the light. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, if they get on cropcirclemovie.com, you will find a connection to me. And if they, you know, Suzanne at mightycompanions.org, to say it on the air, Suzanne, that's my email. But if you get on cropcirclemovie.com, you'll find me. You'll find the movie and me.
Okay, great. It's already the end of the hour, unfortunately. So
yeah, we could talk forever, couldn't we, Patricia?
I know it just got started here, but I'm sure we'll be talking more, Suzanne. It's really
come visit me in LA. Come on, girl. I need girlfriends here.
Oh God! I tell you what, I'm not crazy about entering U.S. borders at the moment. It's too crazy over there. But maybe
well, bring me over there. Find something and find me another conference to talk at over there.
All right, that's much more doable. All right, everybody, listen. The wonderful Suzanne Taylor. Her movie is What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. Please give it some attention. She's done amazing things. And wow, she's helping bring this to the mainstream. She even has quotes from the New York Times. She's got Rosie O'Donnell turned on.
Yeah, we got a great review in the New York Times. We should mention that. That's the money review in the whole world.
What is the review?
I couldn't believe it. They sent a reviewer who loved my movie.
That is the coolest thing ever. That just goes to show you, it does matter what you're doing. To get New York Times to give you a positive review, to give you any review, that is wonderful work, Suzanne. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Patricia.
You're really a spirit warrior. All righty, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Speaking of England, my program this summer, which is always sold out, is July 16th to the 26th. It is The Crop Circles and Sacred England, and also included is my two-day workshop, DNA Activation. And we have quite a great time. So if you're interested, you can find out about it on my site. Again, SyrianRevelations.net. There are only 16 places left, I think. So if you're interested, please don't hesitate to move on it. And thank you for tuning in. And thank you for being patient with me when I don't appear because of circumstances outside of my control. Meanwhile, the sun has returned to Rome. Life is flowers are about to come out and bloom again. And it's going to be a fantastic spring. So I will be with you in 2 weeks again. I invite you to celebrate every moment, be the light you want to see in the world, and follow your star, follow your dreams. Thank you, Suzanne. Follow me, please, on SaveEarthsOceans.org. It's happening, and soon I will have information for you of how what we can really do to help the whales and dolphins, my kin. Okay, everybody, that's it for today. Nanu, nanu! This is Patricia signing out. Beyond the Matrix, for those of you who dare to think outside the box.